I'd like you to turn with us to the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. I'd like to begin reading verses 6, rather 7, and verse 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
For he that soweth to his flesh
shall of the flesh reap corruption.
But he that soweth to the Spirit
shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
We know there are laws to nature as well as laws that God set in motion before the world was. One of those laws is the law of sowing and reaping. We know we cannot reap any better than what we sowed. In the scripture, the Lord speaks about a sower that went out to sow. And the blessing of the sowing depended upon the condition of the heart of the individual that received the word of God. It has always been that way, and it always will be that way. So we know that we must be very, very careful about what we sow. In the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that God permits to come our way, and very especially the word of God that comes our way. We must be very, very careful to accept the word as God intends for us to accept it. The scripture says that the word of God will never return unto God void, and it will accomplish the purpose whereby it was sent. That is, again, some things that have been in question lately. We know that Isaac Newton set forth with discovery of the law of gravity. Now that is being questioned today, because it seems more that is being learned and discovered in the scientific world is putting a question on the things that we have accepted many, many years. And so there are so many secrets and mysteries with God that the last days of this earth, there are going to be mysteries that men have never discovered. And all along the way, God is going to reveal mysteries. One thing for certain, that God is going to reveal the mysteries of His Word to His people as they desire to walk with God, as they endeavor to live for the Lord, as they endeavor to obey God's word, God will reveal things unto us. There are mysteries in the word of God. But one thing that I want to emphasize this morning, and the thought that the Lord impressed on my heart, is actually found in, let's see, it's a 7 verse. And I don't know the condition of anyone's heart this morning. I don't know the needs of the heart, but God knows the needs of everyone's heart. And I trust Him to minister His word unto our hearts this morning. I pray that you will take diligent heed, you will pay attention, and that you will allow the Lord to grant you your portion of God's word and receive a blessing thereby. Now the scripture says to be not deceived. Never worry or wonder about it. There's something that is going to be, regardless of our response to the word of God, we must know that God is going to accomplish His purpose in His word. And if the condition of our heart is that as God desires it to be, then we'll receive something good from God. But we're living in a time, in an era, Well, there is not as much reception in the Word of God as there was in time past. Now, personally, we can see to it that the Word of God is received in our heart. We keep our heart mellow. We keep it broken up, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise, O my God. If we keep our heart in a condition where when God's Word is planted, it will bring forth fruit. If we're not saved and we've been struggling along the way and we know we need God, God will bless our heart and mind, and He will cause us to receive the Word of God and bring forth fruit and repentance. If we are not sanctified, the Lord will bless our hearts. If we're willing and desiring to go all the way with God, and the Lord has been dealing with us, we will receive what we need so that we can go on and move up, and that God can plant our feet on higher ground. If we've been saved for some period of time, and the enemy is endeavoring to allure us away from God, and the enemy is trying to water down in our hearts and minds the essence of the Word of God, and if we are getting weary and tired along the way, God will bless our hearts and minds, revive us, restore us, give us what we need that we can keep on keeping on. But I say we are living in an age and a time where the Word of God is not being received in the essence as it goes forth. The Scripture said, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever we do, whatever we say, however we receive the Word of God, God is not mocked. We cannot revile God or His Word. We cannot ridicule God or His Word. We cannot lower His standard. We cannot put our own interpretation on the Word of God. We cannot cast any of it away and then feel relieved that we're no longer responsible for that Word. Every one of us are going to be responsible for all the Word that comes out of God's mouth. Scripture, I think it's 8:48 of John, I'm not quite sure. He said the words that you hear, and don't think that when you reject it, that you're rejecting it to some ends, because this same Word that you reject, you're going to face it again in the last day. So God's Word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. And God's Word is life. God's Word is power. God's Word is authority. God's Word will never pass away. Not one dot or tittle will ever go or in the background, so to speak, or subside from working in the lives, even if you and I live to the age and time where not much of God's Word is being preached in its purity, unadulterated, unmixed with anything that caters to the flesh. If we actually live in that time, then we know the same Word of God that He revealed unto us that caused us to know to repent of our sins and to move on for Him in sanctification and to deny ourselves and die daily to ourselves, that same Word is going to be required of us. It was mentioned some in the Sunday school how God deals with us according to our knowledge and our understanding. And if we at one time had knowledge along any line regarding the Word of God, we might change our attitude toward it, but God never changed. Whatever He revealed unto us is truth. Whatever gave us power to resist the devil, that's what God is going to require of us. And so, may the Lord bless us and encourage us this morning. I say, I don't know where anyone is this morning. I don't know what we've been dealing with. I don't know what you listen to. I don't know if you listen to a preacher over the radio, and you're listening to that has caused you to have a different view of the gospel that you have heard most of your life. I don't know if you've been talking to someone that you have confidence in, and they suggest that perhaps some of the things that you believe are not potent anymore. They don't hold any value anymore because of the age that we're living in. The age may be new, and we may be fighting the spirit of a new age religion, but the old time religion is what God is going to require of us to live. And so God bless us and help us to stand on the Word of God. God help us to cherish the Word of God. God help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Him. The spirits of the world that are fighting against God's truth, the Scripture says you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. As it is, it doesn't matter who seems to accept it or who does not seem to accept it. It is an individual matter. And regardless of how the enemy comes against your soul, God gives us access by faith for everything that we need that we can resist the devil and he'll flee. But I say, where there is a mocking of the Word of God, there's a mocking of the Word of God in the religious world. There's a mocking of God's world. God's word in the Supreme Court, in the judicial system, in the legislative system. There's a mocking of the Word of God in the executive system of not only the United States, but everywhere around the world. Now, there is a general letting down of God's word. But it's up to you and I to see to it that by God's grace, whether high waters, whether fire, whether flood, whatever comes our way, that we stand true to God. God's not mocked up. I don't care how people revise the Word of God. I don't know how many translations there are of God's Word. New King James, the International, the New International. There are so many, I can't count them all. Started back probably in the 1800s, that there was a diversity of opinions regarding God's Word. And there was the aura of the King James Version is not really very clear. And we need to adjust it a bit so it will jive with the language that we speak today. But folks, I have found, and I have read, and you have read, there's something about the impact of the Word of God sent forth as God ordained it to be. Now, very few of us know Hebrew. Maybe none of us know Hebrew or Greek. But the one thing that will keep us on track is that we have the Holy Ghost. And we have been promised that He will bring the things to our remembrance. He will clarify things. But every bit of it depends upon the honesty of our own heart. If you want something that's watered down a little bit, you can go somewhere and you can receive it. You don't even have to leave your home to receive it. You just compromise in your heart the essence of what God's Word means and the gospel and the good news that was sent forth. You just question it just a little bit, and the devil and his imps will be right there to reveal, supposedly, some new light and understanding to you to the extent that you can actually sit among the saints and the people of God, do it like you want to do it, and go that way and feel satisfied in your soul and be at peace and be at rest. Why? Because you're not fighting the devil anymore. You've accepted the things that he has brought your way. But I repeat, God is not mocked. We can make our decisions. We can do it our way if we want to. But God's Word stands the same today. Yesterday and today and tomorrow, it's still going to be the same Word of God. And so let us not sympathize to any degree to anything that the enemy is bringing on the world. We are definitely in the last of the last days. There's not one thing, as far as I can see, there's not one thing that has not been manifested as to what's going to happen at the end of the world. We are seeing it all. We're seeing earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing a collision of society values. We've seen morality plummet down to a level that we never thought we would see in this time world. And it's not going to get any better. The scripture says that they're going to wax worse, and they're going to wax worse than that. And so, you know, it means something for you to have a experience that's rooted and grounded and riveted to the rock. But folks, I say we're living in a world and we can feel the onslaught of the enemy come against us as people mock the word of God. They don't call it that. They don't say they're mocking God's word, but their attitude and popularity of that kind of attitude that is in opposition to the purity of God's word, it's there. It's there to fight you. And it's there to resist God's way of going to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one narrow way. There may be many seem right ways, more than we can name, but there's only one way. There's only one. There's only one. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. We cannot mock God and there not be consequences. You can't make up your mind that there is a better way to get to heaven than what God has originally revealed unto you. I am not against getting more light. In thy light ye shall see light. But it will be a depth and an understanding of the light that God has already given you. It will not be something that will take you off the beaten path from earth to glory. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. May God help us. There is a purity in God's word that will not be compromised. May the Lord bless our hearts. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. We cannot ridicule, imitate with contempt the word of God. When you go out places, some people are looking on with a respect. I respect the way you're living. I respect your stand. Then some people are looking on with ridicule and contempt. God help us. That's the world we live in. But that should have nothing to do with your stand for God. That should not cause you to back up on anything that God has revealed into your heart. Again, it is an individual matter, but it is going to be in agreement with the Word. It's going to be, again, in agreement with the Spirit of God. They work together. They've always worked together in unison, and they always will. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one entity in three. So may God bless us, or three in one. Excuse me, I should put it. It's only one entity. There's only one God. There's only one Son of God. There's only one Spirit of God. But they always agree. And I thank God for that. All right. I'd like you to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Jeremiah. I'd like to read verses 15 through 21. God is not mocked. Thinking of Hosea 10 and 12. So to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground of your heart. It is time to seek the Lord. Sow in righteousness and will receive the mercy of God. I don't know if there's anyone here tonight, or this afternoon, this morning, it's still morning. I don't know anyone that has made it this far without God's mercy. Sow to yourself in righteousness and we will reap in mercy. I need the mercy of God. And I'm sure you do. And I know many, many others that need God's mercy. But they're not living that way. They're not living like they need anything from God. The devil is a deceiver of souls. He's a deceiver of the people. And he will tamper with your mind if you let him. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think on the Lord. Think on things that are pure and lovely and just and honest and true. Think on those things. The Bible, every mandate in God's Word is there for a reason. It's not only for you to get saved, but there are instructions in the Word of God to help you to stay saved. And if we do not discipline our mind and our thoughts to be stayed on the Lord, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. You cannot think on anything you desire, and there are no parameters. There are certain things that the Bible dictates to us that we need to think on. If we do not, then we make trouble for ourselves. So God help us. God encourage our heart along life's way. Again, you cannot choose your own way from earth to glory. It has to be the way of God. Who's ever been there? Who's ever been there but Jesus? God help us. Why should we question Jesus, the Word of God? Why should we question God's Word? Why don't we turn the searchlight inward and take a look at ourselves and see the shortcomings there and to see the infirmities there? Don't tamper with the Word of God. It's right by itself. Brother Effinger, Henry Effinger, came among the saints in the 70s. That was the first place the Lord sent us to labor, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He was there. He was not preaching, but he'd been among the saints, and he still was among the saints. And that was one of the things he said. God's Word is right by itself. I realize there are times and we feel like we need to defend the Word of God, but it's right all by itself. There are times God gives us something to say, but God's Word is right all by itself. It is its own defense. You can live it and manifest to the world the light that comes from obeying God's Word so others may see the way from earth to glory. But it's right by itself. It's right all by itself. I've found that to be true. So God bless us and encourage us along the way of life. We do not want to disrespect the Word of God or the things that pertain to God. We are living in an age of great disrespect for God and His Word. May God help us. All right, did you read that? Yes.
Remember me and visit me.
Yes.
And revenge me of my persecutors.
Yes.
Take me not away in thy long suffering.
Amen.
Know that for thy sake I have suffered for you.
Yes.
Thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Yes.
And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Amen. Yes.
I fell alone because of thy hand.
Yes.
For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail?
Yes.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
If thou return.
Yes.
Then I will bring thee again.
Yes. Yes.
Let them return unto me, but return not thou unto them.
Yes.
And I will make thee unto this people a fence, break the wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee.
Amen.
For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and
yes.
I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible.
All right. In essence, we could say number-wise, we are just like the Israelites, the natural Israelites. Said, I didn't call you because you were the greatest in number. You were actually the smallest nation. I called you to be a peculiar treasure unto myself. You know, God has never had great numbers to work with compared to the world. God has always done great things with the little. That's why he said in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he didn't call the noble or the wise. He didn't call them to work for him. But he called the lowly. He called the despised. He called those that in the eyes of the world were off-scouring. Nothing like dross. Nothing of value in them at all. They're just an eyesore. But God calls those humble people that will obey his word. And he uses them in a wonderful way. In a way they could never be used if it were not for God. God has always called the things that the world would choose to use. The great intellect. The rich. Those that have great substance. Those that have great influence. God doesn't call those people because they have their own personal agenda. But they're not interested in going God's way and doing things God's way. God calls those people like Gideon, those like Moses, that made wise choices to follow him. Moses, when he came of age, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There have been many along the way that made a choice. And God chose to use that individual. You would have thought what was accomplished could have never been accomplished by that small, weak, human instrument. But God has chosen human instrumentality that others would not choose. He's chosen them because of their obedience to him. They have chosen the way of the cross. They have chosen the way of Christ, and they will not go to the right hand or to the left. You know, there are many people that will go part of the way with the Lord, but there are very few that will go all the way with God. Many have chosen to go this way, and with the light, they refuse to keep pace. Walk in the light while you're in the light. If we fail to walk in the light, darkness will overcome us, and we will no longer see that light. Oftentimes, we won't even remember that God had enlightened us. May God help us, encourage us along the way. Again, this is a personal walk with God. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we must never get to the place where we take anything for granted. Don't take for granted the fact that God has blessed you and someone complimented you about the goodness that God is working through your life. That's wonderful, but we must always let it be known, it's not me. It's God. I don't have any goodness of my own. Whatever good I have is not good enough for God. Only thing that's good is God. And if I have him in my life and in my heart, and he's leading the way, then God's perfect will be performed. Anything less than that is not good enough. God help us. There are many people. I have many projects going. For the good of the country, the good of the neighborhood, the society. They're making sacrifices, but they don't want to live for God, and they don't want to obey God. They're doing good things and doing good works, but there is no substitute with God living out his goodness in our life. If God is the cause of it, and God is the end of it, then it's going to be a blessing for souls. If God is not the end of it. He didn't initiate it. He didn't see that it went through. He didn't give the power and authority and the courage to do it. And we did it in our own prowess. We did it because of our own intellect. We did it because we had the backing of the majority. That's not what God calls for. You see, when the people that God has used down through the ages, they were in the minority, and were not always thought very well of. How could that little one do anything? Oh, what are you doing? Get out of the way, little boy. That little boy is someone that God used, and he lifted up a standard, and he demonstrated the cause of Christ like no one else had the courage to do so. And so we don't despise the day of small things. because God has always used small things to accomplish his cause. So may the Lord bless us to choose to be one of those instruments that God chooses is to choose a way of self-denial. You won't be popular in the world. You will not be popular. And if popularity is what you desire, then you're on the wrong course. You're on the wrong course. As a matter of fact, the scripture lets us know, you beware when everybody speaks well of you. You watch out. You're in for a snare. Because everybody's not going to see this truth the way it is. And there are people that will flatter you and compliment you, and they are insincere. They have a personal agenda, and they want something out of you. God help us that we'll not be for sale ever along any line. May God help us and encourage us to do the things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. This brethren said here in Jeremiah, I didn't sit with people that were mocking the Lord. I didn't keep company with them. I refused to keep company with them. I refused to allow the enemy to influence me in any way that causes me not to see the Word of God as it truly is. God is clear and plain through His Spirit as He talks to us and reveals Himself unto us. He is so clear and so plain, but He said there are people that may be fools to look on. In other words, they have simple ways, but they won't err in the way of truth. If they have a heart and a mind to please God, God will see to them that they stay on the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. There's something about godly sincerity that is unique. Godly sincerity is, well, I say a definition for sincere means pure in the light of the sun. I don't know if any of you are colorblind or on the fringes of color blindness, where you can't tell navy blue from black and maybe dark brown. You know, you can put on something in the light of your bedroom and you can go outside and find out you're not matching at all. That was your intention, but you're not really matching. Because some things are so seem right in the world, in the spiritual realm, some things are so seem right that if you don't look at it very closely in the light of God's word, then you'll be fooled too. So God help us. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Don't allow the enemy to take you on a path that veers away from the King's highway. There's only one way. There really only is. God help us. I know it's not even popular to say that today. It's not even popular. And if we were seeking for popularity, we wouldn't. But you know what the scripture says to the minister? Paul said it. 1 Corinthians, maybe 9 chapter, 16, 17 verse. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. Not woe is you, but woe is me. If I don't preach everything God puts on my heart to preach, it may not and will not be popular. And you may not always want to hear it. And you may get very, 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 very quiet when you hear it. But the scripture says, you consider what I say. That's the Lord talking to us. You consider what God's word say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. So, it's not a popular way. You won't get a lot of backslaps that you can consider to be sincere. You know, a friend loves at all times, and a friend is going to tell you the truth at all times. So, don't look for friendship of someone that just sees everything like you see it. God help us. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. God's Word is going to be revealed to you, again, according to your knowledge and understanding. At the same time, your friend may be the one to help save your life, because he may be the only one that will tell you the truth about yourself. You and I may see ourselves as being almost perfect. I know most of us don't. Most of us have better God sense than that. But a friend will tell you, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend will tell you things about yourself that nobody else will tell you. I don't know how I would take it. Oh, that'll ruin our friendship if I say that. But the Lord is interested in you and I getting the essence of His truth down in our heart so that we can walk the way of Jesus Christ and make it to heaven in the end. All right? I didn't sit with the mockers. I didn't align myself. I was not in agreement with those that mocked the Word of God. Brother gave a testimony about he had to part the ways of someone that was a friend. Because you can't sit with the mockers. Psalms 1 and 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the... Yes? Stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. God help us. You know, there are people that know this truth is what it really is. It's a way to heaven. But they're not willing to go that way. And sometimes they will speak very unflatteringly about the Word of God and those that are endeavoring to uphold that standard. But God help us. We can never, if you don't want to obey it, don't try to deride anybody else that wants to obey it. Don't stand in anybody else's way. If somebody wants to live saved and wants to live by the standard of God's Word, you don't want to? Well, that's your choice. But don't hinder anybody else from living it. Don't try to say or do anything that will shine a dismal light on God's truth. Because you really can't do anything against it. All you're doing is digging a deeper pit for yourself. So God have mercy. You can't do anything against the truth. It's still going to be the truth. Regardless of what anybody say, if there's just two or three in the end, it's still the truth. Again, God has never counted on numbers. Look at Gideon. He's never counted on numbers. That's why it's wonderful to have a whole congregation to be able to pray together in agreement. That's wonderful. You get wonderful results. But God, He slimmed it on down. He said two or three. You just have two or three. He asks anything in my name, I'll take care of it. And then He brings it on down to one. If the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is going to avail much too. And so we don't know what circumstances we're going to be found in. And along the way of life, and maybe you will and maybe you won't be able to get an agreement. But you can always touch the throne of God if you're living right before God. So God bless us and encourage us. God is not mocked. The world may say what it will about Him, about His people, about His truth, but God is not mocked. It does not take anything away from the power of God's Word if I say something about it. That's deriding. If I ridicule God's Word, if I say it can't be lived, well, it doesn't take anything away from the truth of it at all. It's still what it is. It'll stand by itself. All right? Reading on a little bit more, I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, verses 23 and 24. I say there's a lot of disrespect in the world today. And I pray God will bless us and help us, that we will not be one of those. 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, verses 23.
And he went up from Bethel.
Yes.
And as he was going up by the way,
yes,
there came forth the little children out of the city, mm-hmm, and mocked him, and said unto him,
yes,
and tear 40
That's a very, very sad case in the Bible, isn't it? I know we teach our children to respect God and to respect His people. One thing we did not permit in our home, we would not permit our children to talk about the saints. And we would never, if we had a problem of anything, we didn't talk about it in the presence of our children. I know people today that do not and have not attended the assemblies of the Church of God because they have an ought with the saints of God because of something they heard. God help us to be very careful about the things that we say.
Amen.
The things that we say in the company of sinners and children.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You may have an ought with someone, but you need to keep it the way the Bible reads. And you need to keep it between you and that person. And you need to talk to them and them alone about it. Amen. So many problems exist among us because nobody remembered the 18th chapter of Matthew. If you have aught against them, go and talk to that person. Don't talk to your best friend. Don't talk to somebody that's going to always agree with you. Because you know, like I said, you could be wrong. You might even have the right principle and the wrong attitude. But God help us. Be careful what you say about God's people and about His church in front of people that are not sympathetic to the truth. Be very careful about it. You do not want to be responsible for causing someone. Now, I know they have a choice, but our lives have an influence. We have a sphere of influence, and you have more influence than you think you have. And we want the influence of our life to be such that we inspire and encourage people toward the truth, not send them away from the truth. There are some people, because there have been so many that talk about the problems of the saints in front of people that they don't have any business talking about them. So, God help us. Just a little note. You be careful. Yes, there's always going to be problems in the visible body of Christ. There is a visible body and there's an invisible body. And the visible body, there's sometimes a mixed multitude. In the visible body, this is what you see. This is a visible body. This is a body. The churches of God at Corinth, the church of God at Philippi, Thessalonica. That's the visible body. There may be people among the saints that may not be there sincerely or have not really made up their mind to really live for the Lord. Maybe they measured up on the outside but never measured up on the inside. However it is, you be very careful. If you have an ought, you need to follow the Word of God and go speak to the individual involved and then go through the other steps if you need to. But don't be loose-tongued about talking about church and church problems with just anybody. Especially if they can't even hardly get their prayers through. May God help us. May God have mercy upon us. The devil will put a snare any way he can in our lives and in our way. All right. Reading on a little bit. The disrespect of God's truth and God's word. It's very, very sad today. Very, very, very sad. And God, help us that we'll not sit with those, be in any kind of agreement. The scripture says, when this is in Proverbs, and I can't tell you exactly where it is, talks about talebearers, and it says something about to rebuke them. Now, you may not feel comfortable to rebuke them right then, but in your spirit should have a rebuke for everyone that's tale-bearing, slandering, gossiping, and backbiting. Your spirit should have a rebuke. May God help us that we'll not be in agreement with anything that is below a Bible standard. All right, reading on a little bit more. Let's see. In regards to that scripture, someone read Isaiah 17 and 11. Talking about sowing the wrong kind of thing. You're just going to reap sorrow and grief. When you sow an attitude of heart and mind that is not of God, that is not Christ-like, and that is uncharitable, it's going to cause you to reap. You're going to reap, but it's going to be what you sowed. It'll bring grief and sorrow. You know, all of us have faced grief and sorrow in our lives. But in our spiritual experience, God has given us grace and taken us through some pretty hard and difficult things. God meant it for good. The devil meant it for evil. And if we humble our heart and go God's way, God will bless us to reap the good. But if we do not keep our heart, our mind, our thoughts, keep a guard over our lips, our mouth, over the door of our mouth, then we are very likely at some time to do something that's going to bring grief and sorrow. So God help us. God undertake for us. There are some things that God permits, and you know, you may never know just why God permitted it. But you can know God will take you through it if you humble yourself before Him. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. God will take us through by His grace. All right, 2 Chronicles 36, 14 through 17. 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, verses 14 through 17, please. Yes.
Transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen.
Yes.
And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending.
Yes.
Because he had compassion on his people.
Mm-hmm. Lord, help us. Yes, do the 17th verse, please.
Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maidens, old men or him that stooped for aid. He gave them all into his hand.
Amen. They mocked the messengers of God. You know, that's all ministers are. That's all they really are. They're just messengers that God sent. They didn't make up the message. God had it ordained himself. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, in 19:20, that we despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. God help us. But they mock the messengers of God. What does Psalms 50 and 17 say? Could you read that for us, please?
Psalms 50 and 17.
50 and 17. Yes.
And casteth my word behind thee.
Yes. Is that what it says? That's it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. That's good enough. Hate destruction. Hate instruction. You know, some people don't want to be told what to do. But you know, sometimes even ministers have to be told something from other ministers. The spirit of the prophet must be subject to the prophet. God help us. We are going to always have to hear something from somebody else. Because we just don't see everything and we don't know everything. So our heart must always be open for instruction. God knows how to instruct us in a way that will cause us to avoid a lot of trouble and sorrow and grief and heartache. If we are one of those that, well, I want to hear instruction from somebody else. Now, God help us. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the Word of God. They said they didn't want. They didn't want to hear from God. They'd rather hear from Moses. But that was not the problem. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, Moses said the very same thing, and they didn't want to hear him either. But it was the instruction. The instruction that was given was a rebuke and an admonition to them, and they didn't want to hear it. God help us. There are times that God's going to rebuke us and admonish us along the way. And we really can't pick and choose how he's going to do that. But we must have our heart open for whatever way the Lord ordains to send something our way that'll prove to be a blessing to our souls in the end. All right. Let's see. Turn to Proverbs verses 6 through 9. Proverbs 14, verses 6 through 9.
A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not.
Yes.
But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth.
Yes.
Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge.
Yes. Amen. I say again, we're living in a day and time when people are mocking sin and trying to make it something far different than what it really is. And we can by no means have any sympathy with them, whether it be relatives or friends or close associates. God is not mocked. You can mock God if you desire at the peril of your life. And you can mock his word. And you can mock the messenger of his word. It'll be at the peril of your life. God help us. I desire you to pray for me. I mean heaven at any cost too. It's not an easy road. It's a way of self-denial all the way from day one till the day we take our last breath. We're going to have to deny ourselves on God's way. It's not ever going to be a bed of roses. And God is going to use you, if you let him, to do things and to go places that you really had in your mind, did not have in your mind to do, and you didn't have it in your mind to say. But I say again, as Paul, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But not only am I concerned about preaching, my biggest concern is to have it manifested in my life. Pray for me.